Welcome to Common Sense Care, parenting gender-confused children with truth and love. We believe that each child is an individual and should be given the care and treatment that's most appropriate for him or her. So welcome back. I'm Maria Keffler.
And I'm Erin Brewer, and we're going to do something a little bit different today on Common Sense Care. I kind of feel like we're going to help people fill their toolkit a little bit.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, I like that.
So we're going to talk a little bit about the books that Partners for Ethical Care has published, and specifically the new one, which has just been published. This is actually a proof copy, but it's actually now published on Amazon. So this is Transing Our Children. It's sort of the most recent in Partners for Ethical Care's books that, and it's less about parenting and more of a guide to people who really don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. So I think of it as maybe a primer for parents whose kids haven't gotten into this transgender ideology, for teachers, for therapists, for policymakers, just for sort of for anybody who's sort of not really sure what's going on. This is a book that sort of explains sort of the genesis of this movement, how damaging it is, how it's encouraging predation on vulnerable children, and how, you know, fundamentally no child is born in the wrong body. There is no such thing as transgender. There are children who are suffering and struggling with gender dysphoria. Transing is a treatment path, but we know that it's an ineffective and dangerous treatment path. So it's a way to introduce everybody to these concepts.
Well, and I love how you attacked so many different facets of this. Every chapter treats a different facet. There's the history of it. Where did it come from? Why are we doing this now? There's the concept of gender. Like, what does that mean? Or, you know, what it doesn't mean. There's, you know, a chapter on transing away the gay, parents who are afraid of their kids having same-sex attraction. There's a chapter on trauma and sexual assault and where some of that can play in. Medicalization. I just feel like you really hit all the different facets of this in a really pithy, concise way. It's not a terribly long book. I think it's what, about 35,000 words?
Yeah, it's pretty short. And that was the goal, is to be very accessible to people, to really help them to understand what's going on. And one of the things that I'm most excited about this book is the endorsements. We have endorsements from Andre Van Mol, who is just an incredibly compassionate, kind family care doctor. We have one from Mary McAllister from the Child and Parent Rights Campaign. That organization is doing so much to fight for the rights of parents and children. They are actively litigating and really helping parents, and they are just an amazing organization. We have something from an endorsement from Joey Bright, who is, she organized the Can I Get a Witness conference. And she is, she talks about her experience as, you know, a gender nonconforming girl in her endorsement. We have an endorsement from an anonymous mother whose child is struggling with this trans identity. Michelle Curtella from the American College of Pediatricians, and Quentin Van Meter, who's a pediatric endocrinologist. So I feel like we've got endorsements from really a wide range of people, mothers, doctors, lawyers, and they all felt like this was, you know, something that they could get behind and endorse. And I really appreciate that. And like you said, it really, hopefully will provide people with background to this. And again, to push back on the idea that transgender is an identity, because we know that transgender isn't an identity. It's a treatment path. You know, it's if somebody is struggling with gender dysphoria, transitioning is not an identity. It's actually, you know, a protocol. It's a medical intervention that can be taken, but isn't innate. And again, we would argue that it is not an appropriate treatment path, that in no case should a child be told that they are inherently flawed, that they're born in the wrong body, and that the only way that they're going to be able to survive their distress is to become a different person. Ultimately, that is a message that is incredibly dangerous. And another chapter in here really pushes back about against the suicide myth and the way suicide is being used to leverage big pharma and the trans industry in order to encourage people to accept the transgender path rather than a healthy and functional path that children should be on. So it also pushes back against therapy bans, because one of the ways that this industry has really taken hold is that we have organizations like the Trevor Project and the Human Rights Campaign that have systematically eliminated therapists' potential to use the most appropriate treatment path, the one that has been shown to be the most effective and the healthiest and provide the best results. They have systematically made that treatment illegal in many states and are working to do it not just nationally, but internationally. So basically they've taken the best treatment and they've made it illegal. And the only treatment available to a lot of these children is a treatment of dysfunction that's going to cause them to be less functional, less healthy, to basically disassociate from themselves and become somebody new. So I think it's a nice book to sort of get people prepared for it. And then we wanted to talk a little bit about your book, the Desist, Detox, Detrans book. I might have said that in the wrong order.
You know, everybody, when they say it, they stop. Maybe it's a little too wordy.
But your book is very specifically for parents. However, I do think that it is an incredibly important resource for everybody, because it really goes into depth into how this cult works. And so it's a nice companion, I think, to the Transing Our Children book. And do you want to talk a little bit about what your intention was with the Desist book?
Yeah, with Desist, Detrans, and Detox, Getting Your Child Out of the Gender Cult, we really wanted to provide parents another way, because as you said, the gender industry has systematically cut off parents' options. I mean, for heaven's sake, schools are lying to parents now. I just talked to a psychiatrist yesterday who's having an issue with a patient where the child is doing something at school and the school is hiding it from the parents, and the parents don't want this to happen. And the psychiatrist is caught in the middle with, confidentiality problems, and schools are actively, working with the gender industry to cut off parental rights. And parents are kids' best support. They are kids' best protection. Yes, there are cases where parents are abusive. That is not the norm. That is not widespread. In most cases, the child's best advocate is his or her parents. And the gender industry knows that. And they have systematically cut off parents' ability to protect their kids. So the Desist, Detrans, Detox book is to give parents, here's an option. Here's how you can treat this. There's no guarantees in the book. If you do A, B, C, and D, your kid's going to be fine. There's no guarantees, because this is a cult and this is very difficult. But a lot of the book is just parenting. It's just common sense parenting. It's parenting and child psychology strategies. We've known for decades or hundreds of years some very basic facts about children and about how people learn and how kids grow. And so a lot of this book is just that. It's sort of educational psychology 101, which I want to say every educator had to take an educational psychology class to get their teaching degree. And what I'm seeing in schools now, many of them have forgotten about it. They've completely forgotten about the basics of child psychology. So that's the heart of that book, is just helping parents know how to deal with this in an ethical and in a right and in a hopeful way.
Yeah. And I think that there are so few resources out there for parents. And that's part of the motivation for writing these, is that we really wanted to equip parents with information that they need, because they're not getting it anymore from their doctors, from their teachers. They're really, and like you said, this has been a concerted effort to break off the relationship between the child and the parent, or to indoctrinate the parent into this ideology as well. And we're seeing a lot of that, where parents honestly believe that the best thing that they can do, and potentially the only thing they can do, is to support their child's announcement of a trans identity. And mm-hmm. that's one of the reasons that I wrote this book, Always Erin, mm-hmm. is because I really wanted a way to explain to parents, to teachers, to children, that there are underlying issues that cause these trans identities, that mm-hmm. It's not that the child's born in the wrong body. It's that something is going on with that child that makes them feel uncomfortable with who they are. And we have all felt this, Maria. Mm-hmm. You know, parents, if you're feeling like you need to affirm your child, just think back to when you were a kid and that time where you were so uncomfortable with who you are. And if somebody dangled a carrot in front of you and said, you know what, you don't have to be uncomfortable with yourself anymore, you just become somebody else. How many of us would have jumped on that opportunity? And yet in this case, it's not just sort of remaking who we are to be more comfortable with ourselves. It's self-harming. It's damaging. It's putting a child on a pathway of medicalization. And, you know, one of the things that I just keep pounding at is that this is a medicalization of a child, and we have parents celebrating it. And that's where I feel like they've been indoctrinated too, because in no other case do parents get excited and celebrate mm-hmm. the fact that their child is now on a medicalized treatment plan. I remember the announcement by Marie Newman, who's a congresswoman in the US, and she said that the day they found out that their son was transgender was the happiest day of their life. And I'm thinking there's something really wrong there. That mm-hmm. is a family that's been indoctrinated into this cult, that they believe that this is something to celebrate, mm-hmm. that the fact that their son is going to endure surgeries that have incredibly high rates of complications, be put on hormones that are going to cause his healthy body to be dysfunctional. And there's information now that's suggesting that these children's lifespan is going to be cut short. They're mm-hmm. likely going to be infertile. You know, this is not something we would celebrate in any other case. If a, mm-hmm. if a parent came home and said, we just found out our child has leukemia, nobody's going to say, oh, that's great. They're brave and authentic. Mm-hmm. How wonderful for you. That's where, you know, that's where, again, it's the whole medicalization of this mm-hmm. that is causing us such deep concern, is that these are children who are vulnerable, who are having their healthy bodies damaged. And the outcomes we know from the research, you know, everybody says, look at the science. And in this case, the science is so clear. Mm-hmm. That's another chapter in the Transing Our Children book, is about the science. The science mm-hmm. is so clear that this has no research to back it up. There's no research to show that transing a child is an appropriate or healthy pathway. In fact, mm-hmm. the research shows these kids have, you know, lifelong complications. They're less functional. They have more self-harming behaviors, more suicidal ideations, more anxiety, more depression. Mm-hmm. These are not positive outcomes, even IQ lowering from these interventions, you know, developmental delays. There's no way that this can be justified as a good pathway and a reasonable treatment.
And the argument from the trans rights activists is, oh, all of those negative outcomes are because society doesn't accept mm-hmm. transgender people. Well, I mean, look around. Mm-hmm. Ellen Page announces that she's Elliot now and everybody applauds. Mm-hmm. You know, Bruce Jenner, you know, is now running for office as Caitlyn Jenner and everybody thinks he's brave and stunning. That argument doesn't hold up anymore. Yeah. And frankly, that is an abuser technique. That is blaming the victim. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're seeing with these suicide pressures. That is something abusers do. Mm-hmm. Who here had a boyfriend or a girlfriend who threatened to commit suicide if you broke up with them? Mm-hmm. That's abuse. That's emotional manipulation. Every one of these techniques that the trans rights activists and lobbyists and the gender industry has used to get this accepted into the culture is a standard abusive technique. Yeah. And we need to recognize that. And I think your book, Transing Our Children, points that out beautifully.
It's interesting that you say that. I just recently saw a video that was made by a trans right activist about conversion therapy. And it was basically teaching children how to avoid getting mental health help when they're with a therapist. Because again, for those who don't understand, the umbrella of conversion therapy basically is anybody who doesn't affirm the child's trans identity, not just affirm, but celebrate it.
And push them forward towards.
Yeah, exactly. And so this whole video was teaching kids how to stonewall the therapist, how to divert the therapist, how to kill time during therapy. Basically, you know, parents who are concerned about their child, taking their child to a therapist who's going to help identify those underlying causes. And this is a video teaching kids how to scuttle that effort, basically. Mm-hmm. And I just think about myself. When I was identifying as a trans kid, if I had seen a video like that, how it would have given me the idea that I should view, first of all, that therapist and my parents as the enemy, mm-hmm. and that I should use these tactics to undermine their efforts to help me, and how I never would have gotten the help that I needed. And that breaks my heart, Maria.
It does. And I know the video you're talking about, I've seen it. It's too teenagers. Well, it's a boy who thinks he's a girl and a girl who thinks she's a boy. And the girl who's pretending to be a boy does the bulk of the video. And she says on there, "I'm so excited. I'm about to go off to college." So she's just finished high school and she's doing this anti-indoctrination video for the Trevor Project. She's 18. She's a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, she has gotten fed this stuff by nefarious adults, right, who want to push this onto kids and further prevent kids and their parents from getting the help that they need. I guarantee this was not her sitting down and coming up with this, because
it was very well researched. The techniques that she was talking about are, you know, there are techniques that people that soldiers are trained in case mm-hmm. they're caught by the enemy and are put in a POW camp. I mean, these are intense techniques to resist indoctrination. And how ironic is it that the cult is teaching its members these techniques and basically teaching them to view their parents as the enemy, to mm-hmm. view that therapist that might help them understand that their trans identity is due to autism or due to a sexual assault or due to an eating disorder. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that this is about as ugly as it gets, Maria. This is about mm-hmm. as devious and deceptive and deceitful as it gets, is that the very people who are trying to help somebody are being perceived as the enemy. Mm-hmm. It's really sad. And I just feel for parents who are struggling because, again, the whole message is that your job as a trans kid is to resist, is to entrench yourself in that identity mm-hmm. and to only affiliate with people who celebrate it. And mm-hmm. again, this is celebrating developmental delays, infertility, lifelong medicalization, mm-hmm. self-harming behaviors, disassociation, ignoring the underlying causes of mm-hmm. your distress, increasing depression, increasing the risk of suicide. Mm-hmm. Any group that is encouraging affiliating with that and embracing all of those negative outcomes is not a positive influence. I mean, mm-hmm. and that's where I think that this ideology at some point is going to really be, you know, light's going to be shown on it. It's because mm-hmm. it's so obviously harming our children. And mm-hmm. Hopefully the doctors who are embracing this and the activists who have been pushing this will have their feet held to the fire, because they are damaging children. They've damaged mm-hmm. a whole generation. Yeah. I just saw that there's a display in the Smithsonian now about Jazz Jennings' story and how there are all different kinds of girls. And again, how damaging is it that our very young children are being taught that there's the potential that there was a dramatic mistake made mm-hmm. in their creation, and that the wrong gendered spirit was put in their body. And the only way to accommodate that is to damage themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no basis for that. This is an ideology. It's a religion. I like the way you said that, a differently gendered spirit, because that's basically what they're talking about. And I want to keep reiterating and reaffirming, this is being done by very smart adults who have a very greedy, nefarious agenda. Just like that Trevor Project video with the 18-year-old teaching the anti-indoctrination techniques, she didn't come up with that. She was taught that. Supposedly GSA clubs and schools, Gender Sexuality Alliance clubs, those have to be started by kids. And so the school will say, oh, the kids wanted to do this. No, they don't. These are adults who are starting it in the name of the kids. Rebecca Friedrichs, who's a veteran teacher from California, she's talked about going to National Education Association conferences where money, big money, is offered for people who will start GSA clubs in schools. This is a very strategic agenda, and parents don't suffer Stockholm syndrome. I mean, I've got to say that. I think that's what's happening.
Explain what that is for people who don't understand, because that is what's happening.
Stockholm syndrome is where somebody who has been kidnapped starts to identify with the kidnappers and align with the kidnappers. And we've seen this. This is well documented. This is something that happens psychologically. Some people, when they get kidnapped, they put their allegiance and their trust in the kidnappers, and that's called Stockholm syndrome. And I really think that's what's happening to a lot of parents. Mm-hmm. It is hard. It is hard to push back on this. It is hard to swim upstream. It is hard to say no. It's hard in every single way. But this is your child. This is your child. You have to do the hard thing.
And this is our children as a society who are being systematically targeted and mm-hmm. damaged. As you said, these kids are being taught that their distress is coming from the society not affirming mm-hmm. them. And I can't think of anything more disingenuous. As you said, mm-hmm. you know, a child who is, you know, not very popular, who's sort of on the fringes, announces a trans identity, and suddenly they are celebrated. They have mm-hmm. this huge network of people who are, you know, pushing them, go, go, go. Mm-hmm. Anytime they, you know, they announce they get on puberty blockers, there's this huge celebration. They announce they get on cross-sex hormones, huge celebration. They announce there's a surgery, huge celebration. They realize they're not actually transgender and they're ostracized. Mm-hmm. That right there is a clue. These are people who clearly do not care about being kind and tolerant because of how they treat people who realize that they're not transgender and who mm-hmm. speak out about it, especially, you know, the amount of threats that we get, the kinds of threats that people like us who speak out about this really are indicative of this, how nasty and mean mm-hmm. this ideology mm-hmm. is. Don't you dare question it. Don't you dare try and show science, mm-hmm. research to contradict us. You know, we've been called white nationalists for challenging this ideology. Mm-hmm. They're just throwing whatever they can out there. And these kids are vulnerable. That's the thing, is that we know kids are impressionable. We know kids are vulnerable, which is why they need parents. They mm-hmm. they need adults in their community who are willing to stand up and say no. And for all those watching this, I'm assuming that your parents were doing that. And we thank you. Mm-hmm. We thank you for your willingness to push back against this ideology in whatever way you can. Mm-hmm. If that means, you know, that you're not willing to use your child's chosen name, you know, way to go. You know, mm-hmm. these small things will make a difference. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, we need to educate. We need to get the word out, because most people don't understand what's going on. Most people just think, oh, isn't that nice? We just want to be kind to these poor trans people. They mm-hmm. have such a hard life. And they don't understand how damaging this ideology is. So we need to do our best to educate.
Yeah. And that's what we're doing with our series of books. We're continuing to work on books. We're going to put out as many materials as we can for parents. You're not alone. You are not alone. There are a lot of people who recognize how harmful this is and are pushing back. I agree, Erin, we need to commend parents who are doing everything they can to save their kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's ultimately why we've done this video series, is to mm-hmm. help you as parents to equip yourself. We know how difficult this is. We hear your stories and our hearts break for you, mm-hmm. but we also just champion you. And we applaud all the efforts that you're making. And hopefully we'll be able to continue to provide you with resources to fight back against this. I really feel like we're getting close. You know, mm-hmm. more and more people are starting to question this. You know, we have people who see that a male just beat up a woman in an MMA championship. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, a male who is a special forces soldier, highly trained in combat. Very, you know, fit male who suddenly mm-hmm. identified as a female and ended up really just damaging the woman he was fighting against. Mm-hmm. Things like that are making people say, wait, what? Yeah. Laurel Hubbard being in the Olympics, you know, this
Gavin.
Gavin, thank you. This is a man who mm-hmm. who competed against women. And I think that there is this questioning is starting to happen, but it's happening more in relation to athletics because that's so egregious. This mm-hmm. other, you know, what's happening with children is so under the radar in a lot of ways. You know, it's in the schools, you know, people are getting, you know, their parents send their kids off to school thinking that their children are safe and in good hands and are going to be taught actual science. Well, now they're not. Any teacher who promotes this agenda is basically, you know, giving the middle finger to biology. Mm-hmm. And so your children are not being educated adequately by any teacher who's embracing this ideology.
And I feel like I want to tell this. I was visiting another state recently and I gave a talk and some folks from the local church heard me talk and wanted me to come and speak to the young parents at their church. I looked into the school district and transgender policy was not there yet. Mm-hmm. The first thing that happens is the school board slips it into the non-discrimination clause. So they slip in gender identity along with sexuality, pregnancy status, religion, race, all that. And they slip it in there. And then they go, oh, what does that mean mm-hmm. to not discriminate against transgender students? And then it opens the door for this policy. So this district had not even put it into their anti-discrimination clause yet. So this local church was going to have me come present to young parents. A local doctor was going to provide food, dinner for everybody. The church was providing childcare. The announcement went out on a Tuesday, and Wednesday morning, the pastor came into his office to an email inbox full of nasty grams, including from the local school board, and it was scuttled. Wow. Why would the school board be afraid of me talking about this?
Yeah. And that's something that's so interesting. I actually, Partners for Ethical Care sent a copy of Always Erin to all of the district, the board members of the Utah State Board of Education recently. And I testified briefly about my experience. I also contacted each of the members and gave them a little bit of information about how, you know, they should not have a trans policy. They need to have a policy for how to deal with gender dysphoria. Mm-hmm. These are kids who have gender dysphoria. These are children who, you know, need some assistance and intervention, but they're not transgender. There's no such mm-hmm. thing. And one of the members wrote me back and I got the sense that his mind was kind of blown because he mm-hmm. had no idea. He'd never been given an alternative view that, mm-hmm. that this transgender ideology is an ideology and mm-hmm. that there isn't such a thing as a trans child. And mm-hmm. I could tell it really gave him something to think about. Wow. So I think sharing these resources, you know, talk to people, mm-hmm. go to your school board and take that risk because there, most of the people out there are just going along with it because they don't know any better. Yeah. They think that transgender is like autism or, you know, like any other kind of category. And so they're not questioning it. They're just like, oh, of course we need to have a policy. Of course, we're going to do what we can to accommodate these children, without even questioning the basic premise of whether or not there's even such a thing as a transgender child. So if we can start to introduce that, I think that we'll start making headway.
I think so too. Well, thank you for writing that book, Erin. Thank you for all the work that you've done.
And thank you. You also helped a great deal with it. So I really appreciate all that you're doing, Maria, with your work, with your speaking out. You're making such a difference in helping so many parents.
And so are you. And so is PEC. So come to Partners for Ethical Care, www.partnersforethicalcare.com. support@partnersforethicalcare.com is our email address. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to support you. You're not alone.
We are not doctors or therapists. We are not giving medical or psychiatric advice, and we offer no guarantee of outcomes. We simply want to talk about how to support and love kids using long understood best practices from the fields of psychology, education, and child development. We're glad you joined in our conversation today, and we hope that you took away something you can put in your toolkit for parenting your gender-confused kids with truth and love.